Pledge and W2.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. Thanks for joining us here on this Tuesday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're in the book of Hebrews today on WGOD, and we're in up to chapter 11, and we're looking at the Hall of Faith. Excellent thing, this people whom God has commended, naturally, for their faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith it is impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's where we're at here today. This is part two. Part one aired yesterday. Part two here today, Wednesday and Thursday. You'll hear my sermon from this past Sunday, and that was Acts chapters 9 and 10. So those are some of the things going on here at the church. This Wednesday, we're wrapping up the book of Titus, and Sundays, we're in the book of Acts. We teach New Testament books, verse by verse. Our Sunday school class, Pastor Darren's teaching through the Old Testament. He's in the book of Ezekiel, Sunday mornings at 9:30. So you are invited to attend one of our services. We would love to see you Sunday morning, 10:30, Wednesday evenings from 6 to 7. Okay, here we go. This is part two of this message now, God's Hall of Faith. Abel was called righteous here because he believed God as well. It was his faith that inspired God, even in an Old Testament saint, to slam down his gavel and declare you not guilty. It's faith. Enoch, second person here, one of my all-time favorites, Enoch. The Bible says Enoch was taken away or translated so that he did not see death. Translated is the Greek word metatethemi, meaning to be transported from one place to another. I know you guys are waiting for me to say it, aren't you? Beam me up, Scotty. I mean, that's what it means. That's what it means. It's not me. By faith, God beamed up Enoch so that he never died. I say to that, count me in. How about you? How about you? But don't laugh too hard at that, because that's exactly what's going to happen to the blessed generation. Am I allowed to call them lucky generation? Or is it too unchristian for me to use that word, luck? I'd like to be lucky enough to skip out on dying. How about you? All right, blessed. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he asked the question, and I ask it to you on this 23rd day of June, year of our Lord, 2025. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, this Lazarus' sister. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. It's great faith like this that gets you as well into God's Hall of Faith. And without it, we'll keep reading, verse 6. Without it, that is without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, he must believe. Look at what it says there. He who comes to God must believe. He must believe that he is. Notice there's no word after is, just a comma. You don't even have to add anything after that. He who comes to God must believe that he is. I love what God said to Moses back in the Greek Septuagint. When he said, what's your name? He said to him, Ego Eimi Ho On. That is, I am the being. Do you believe that? He who comes to God, he must believe that he is. And if you can believe that, church, look out, world. Look out, world, if you believe that. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe that when you call out to him, then your enemies will scatter? Do you believe? Do you believe the generation that's going to be alive when he comes back and looking on the news, that grows what Paul said, now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed? The generation that's going to be alive when his returns, these kids that come here, Sue's grandkids that are going to be here in a couple weeks. Man, oh man, I believe this is going to be the terminal generation. I'm just examining the evidence. All those who live and believe in me, he said, will never die. Next up in his God's hall of faith, Noah. Noah. By faith, Noah. Catch the words divine and godly. Divine and godly. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. And he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and he became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. According to faith. So what? An heir of money? An heir to fame? An heir of real estate? No. He became an heir of righteousness. Remember what it means. Remember? God's got a big old gavel. Down goes the gavel. Out goes your name. And he says, not guilty. I've got amnesia with your sins. Come. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Righteous. Now, I did the math here today. Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, as Abraham was 500 years old when his kids were born. When he walked out of the ark, he was 600 years old when the floodwaters came. Man, oh man, 100 years, 80, 90 years, 75 years to build this ark. Can you imagine that? All of the ridicule. God told him to build an ark because the flood was coming and it had never rained on the earth before. All there was a mist, we read in Genesis, a mist that watered the land. There was no rain, and God told him to build an ark 180 feet long, and it never rained. Now, Noah believed God at his word, and he did what God said, not understanding it. And so many times that's what he calls us to. He's not calling you to understand. He's calling you to trust him and believe him at his word. That's all that's required of you. Believe God at his word. Simple, right? Believe God at his word. Look, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. Or I could say to Iran this morning, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Or just keep a watchful eye on what's going on over there. God's large and in charge, though. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. He said, I'll get to this next week, yet once more I'll shake not only the heavens but the earth, so that what may not be shaken may remain. It's like this earth is like a snow globe and God's shaking it. And all the fence sitters and the unbelief, they're all scattered like a stirred up hornet's nest. And those that have a strong faith and trust God at his word, you see, they're grounded. They're grounded. So consider Noah and the faith of Noah. We read this from back in the day, Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, that sounds like today, doesn't it? No, but I'm crazy, right? I'm not crazy. That's what Jesus said. Even Jesus said, I'm not crazy. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when I return. That is, people oblivious to the coming judgment of God is what describes, what characterized the days of Noah. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, this is Genesis 6:7. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, because I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Well, what do you know? First Enoch, now Noah. The common denominator is that they both walked with God. And they both exhibited great faith. Next up, Abraham. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. You know, we could just shut the book right there and go home if we wanted to. Right? I mean, that's just it, right? By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. May the same be said about you and I today as well. Look at Abraham's commendation. He obeyed God. God instructed him to move somewhere he was unfamiliar with. And number three, he did what God said without understanding it. Like you, you're not called to understand. What's required of you is to believe God. Verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. As good as dead, because he was 100 years old. Genesis 17:1 says he was 99 years old when the Lord first appeared to him. And then he had to wait another, I think, 20 years after that. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were assured of them, embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So all of these men and women, they embraced God's promises, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. Strangers in this world, and pilgrims in a foreign land. Strangers, that word xeno. You know how they always call Trump a xenophobe, right? What's that? Xenos is the Greek word for a foreigner. Or a stranger, an alien. And that would be you. You're a foreigner in a strange land. And you're a pilgrim, like I said last Sunday. Pilgrim. Also means alien or stranger, but it's a different Greek word. Look at what we call pilgrims in the United States. They came over on a boat. They were absolute strangers in a foreign land. Probably many times they longed for their former homes. Probably many times they felt like they didn't belong. So it should be for the Christian as well. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. Verse 14, for those who say such things, they declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, all right, I love the word therefore here. That is, since this world won't cut it for me any longer, is what the therefore is there for. Therefore, God is not ashamed. Therefore, since this world is not enough, since I'm going to believe by faith that there's a better, there's a city of God waiting for me. I don't see it, but I believe it. There's the therefore. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called my God. And I like that. I like it that God's not ashamed. You know that Paul Esposito there? I'm his God. Count me in. Says he's not ashamed. He's not ashamed to be known as your God. When you trust him like this in these things in which you cannot see, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, you can't see it. You can't see it. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are those who can't see it and yet believe it. Praise God, he's prepared a city for us. That city is New Jerusalem. Let's have a quick look at that. Let's turn to, you can keep a finger here, we'll be back there, but let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Because now even less and less and less faith is now required of you. When we go to something else now, that's going to show you exactly what the city is. You're getting to the point where you don't even need faith anymore that there is a city, because now he's going to give you the blueprints to it. And if you don't believe the blueprints, then you're really in the wrong place. Revelation chapter 21, verse 10. Okay, here we go. Revelation 21, 10. And he carried me away, he, small h, think it's an angel. This is the Apostle John talking. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Picture yourself here. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she also had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Now, I remember going to the track as a kid. I used to watch him run 6 furlongs. Here you got 12,000 furlongs, which is approximately 1,500 miles square, as tall as it is long and wide. The walls, as we're going to see in verse 17, the walls are 216 feet thick. Verse 17. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits. Do the math, cubits, 18 inches. So he measured the wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man. That is an angel. That is, make no mistake, he used your yardstick to measure this. So there's what your new city looks like, in case you were wondering, or in case you wanted to look at the blueprints, because you can't see the city right now, but you have to believe in the promise of this future city by faith. In the meantime, you are a traveler in this world, and this world is not your home. We're just passing through. I mean, have you guys ever felt before like you just didn't belong here? All right, let's move on to verse 17. Let's look at the faith of the patriarchs here. We're going to look at a little bit more, and we'll wrap up this chapter next week. Verse 17, but now by faith Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed will be called. concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Did you catch that comment there? Not only did Abraham offer up his son to God in obedience, but Abraham expected his son to die, is what he's saying. And that God would raise him up from the dead. He expected him. This is what the old rabbis used to teach as well. Abraham expected his son to die. This is what this text here as well says. And that God would raise him up from the dead, and let's say he was more right than he realized. For God himself expected and knew his own son to die as well, and that he too would be raised up from the dead. You see, the people of God believed this, like Abraham. They believed that death is not the end. They believed that even death is a necessary inconvenience. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death is an inconvenience. Even bad death is an inconvenience in light of. I mean, these guys we're going to look at next week, these guys were fed to the lions. Isaiah the prophet was sawn in half by a timber saw. Even bad death. The people of God believe this. They believe and that God is still going to carry out his plan regardless of death. What is death to God? That's not going to stop him or thwart his plan. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph and he worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, that's Genesis 47:31. That phrase, leaning on the top of his staff, is only in the Greek Old Testament. You won't find that in your Bible. That's Genesis 47:31. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, he made a mention of the departure of the children of Israel, gave instructions concerning his bones. Joseph knew he too was a pilgrim, just passing through. He wanted them to carry his bones to where his ancestors were, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And lastly this morning is this faith of Moses, who, by the way, will be my next sermon series. After I'm done with this and Pastor Darren's preaching, we're going to look at this life of Moses, the man of faith. Verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict or command. You see, the king's command called for unlimited abortions for all male children. That was the king's commands. But the people of faith, the people of God, they believed God at his word, and they believed God, and they didn't fear the government. That's the truth. They believed God and didn't fear the government. And they didn't fear the king. And God blessed them abundantly for it as well. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, this is verse 24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to their reward. Now let's stop here for the day. We'll pick it up here next Sunday in our study of great faith and what great men and women of faith look like. But all of these men and women, they had one thing in common. They all looked to the future, to their reward. And they all looked for a reward. This word here means a recompense. A payment, be it a reward or be it a punishment as well. It could be either one. It's a recompense for what you have done with what you know. Or a recompense of punishment for what you've done. The Apostle Paul summed it up this way. Let me read this text here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, which is where we're going to end here today. The Apostle Paul, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards one another, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and for your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer." We'll read more about suffering next week. "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that don't know God." You see, we're running out of time now to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I see it on the news. It's all around us. You see, you're running out of time. You see, what about these people over here? What about people that are dying over here? He's saying, man, oh man, you got to get your heart right here now. "Is the righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." So it all comes back to faith. Do you believe God today? If you do, then he's building a new city for you. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you, like he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." We're running out of time in this world. Do you believe God? Look at how he's coming back. There's not a whole lot of grace right there in that return. "Inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God and on those that don't obey the gospel." That is why he keeps crying out to you today. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ today before it's too late. As for God's hall of faith, it's not just the Babe Ruths and Joe DiMaggio's who will be in it, but all of you who believe God at his word and will believe in the unseen one. And your faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.